This morning and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you pay any attention to the newspapers and the news, there's all sorts of people making all sorts of predictions about what's going to happen this year. What's in store for the world in 2015, and what's in store for the United States of America in 2015. And it's a year where a president will be elected that will change the course of our country forever. Today, we're going to talk about predictions, and I am going to make 10 predictions for 2015 myself. I call my sermon, My Predictions for 2015. 2 Timothy chapter 4, stand if you will, 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read verse 1 through 4. The Bible says this, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now let's pray. Father, bless us now. Bless the sermon. Help its practicality to help us to live our life day by day according to the Scripture. Holy Spirit of God, do the supernatural work that only you can do, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. First and Second Timothy were letters written by the Apostle Paul, of course, led by the Holy Spirit. They were written to a young man by the name of Timothy. It probably is so that Paul had won Timothy to Christ and that Paul was Timothy's mentor. In chapter 4 and verses 1 through 4 of 2 Timothy there, Paul was actually making some predictions about the state of man in the near future. You heard it, and we're going to review them a little bit, but Paul was saying, just so you know, Timothy, get ready, because as things progress, people aren't going to hold up well under the preaching, and they're not going to be faithful, and he's actually making predictions about what's going to happen. Now, one of the reasons why is Paul was about to die. Paul would be martyred, and these words would be some of the last words that Paul would write or say to this young preacher by the name of Timothy. Now, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:3, it says, for the time will come. We read that. For the time will come. What's he saying? Paul is saying, now I predict, in time, this will be what you'll face. I predict, he's saying, the time will come. And he, so, then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, part B, I would say, of the verse there, it says, when they will not endure sound doctrine. Paul said, I'm going to predict something to you, Timothy. I predict there's going to come a day when you're going to preach the Bible to people and they're going to have a hard time enduring sound preaching or sound doctrine of the Bible. Now, boy, was Paul's prediction true. And I think it happened all the way back in Timothy's day. I think Timothy got to preaching certain doctrines in that day, and the people had a hard time with it. But Paul said, the time will come. In other words, I predict. Then you go into that very same verse, 2 Timothy 4:3. It says, but after their own lusts. What is this? He said, I predict they won't hold up well under good, solid preaching. He said, I predict that they're going to chase after their own lust. In other words, he said, people are going to be mentally lusting and physically lusting out of control. Now, once again, Paul's prediction did come true. In Timothy's day, I believe it began to come true. But boy, has it escalated through the years. Less and less people have been able to endure old-fashioned preaching, and less people have been under control, both mentally and physically, with their lust. And lust is so far out of control today, it is pathetic what they show on the television and all the trash that's out there that adds to those lustful issues. Then, in the same verse, Paul said, they shall heap to themselves teachers, meaning they're going to gather teachers, it says to themselves, and basically it is they're looking for someone to teach what they want to hear. That's what they're looking for. And folks, do you know that the average person will pick a church today based on they want to go somewhere to hear what they want? I have to tell you something. You know, there are going to be times when I'm going to say things to you and you're not going to like it. You say, are you doing that on purpose, preacher? I don't know. Maybe I am. No. But look, if a student went to school and all that they learned is what the student wanted to learn, would that be a school that was worthy of be called an educational institution? No way. But there are people out there, they're looking, they'll come to this church, and if I say something they don't like, they're never coming back. You know, you ought to feel that way sometimes. It ought to be you walk out of here saying, I'll tell you what, I'm not sure I like that. Then you go home and you grow up and you get right with God and say, I'm glad the preacher will tell me what I don't like to hear. Because if we'd all be honest with ourselves, there are times when we need to be told things that we don't want to hear and that we don't like. But it will help us. But Paul said, the day's coming when you get up and preach, they're not going to like it. And when you get up, you're going to be preaching to a group of people whose lust is out of control, both mentally and physically. And he said, I predict that they'll gather teachers and they'll look for teachers that want to give them what they want instead of what they need. Then it says, having itching ears. You ever think about that? Itching ears. You know, if something itches, it's hard to satisfy. Today, people just run all over the place trying to find satisfaction. And again, they even do it with religion. Church hoppers, religion hoppers, if you will. You know what you need to do? You need to find an old-fashioned Baptist church that believes right and lock in and just say, that's my church. You don't need to hop all over the place. You don't have to. You don't need your membership in every church in town. They're like that, though. There are people that just hop all over the place, what you'd call religious socialites. Be good to get the whole program and just find a church and join it and stay there. Now, these are Paul's predicting. He's saying the time will come. When you stand up to preach, they don't want preaching. They're full of lust and they can't be satisfied. They want to hear what they want to hear instead of what they need. And then he says in verse number 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. In other words, they knowledgeably know what's being preached is right, but they're not going to set under that kind of preaching. And again, it's just very true today. People, if they don't want to hear it, they just won't come hear it. It says, and shall be turned unto fables. In other words, man-made teachings. Paul was making some predictions. Paul's predictions came true. Did you know everything predicted in the Bible comes true? Amen. Jesus is coming again. Right. That's true. That's a prediction, but it's coming true. But look at our world today. I got to studying, and I got to thinking about all the predictions. And again, if you watch the news, if you do any reading or anything, everybody out there is talking about what's going to happen in 2015. It's that time of the year. One said the Seattle Seahawks will win the Super Bowl. Maybe they will. I think they're still in the running, but somebody said that. Somebody said Hillary Clinton will announce her desire to be the president of the United States of America. Now, announcing and becoming are two different things. I thought, which was a very interesting thing, a very interesting prediction, they said this year, I think they were going to give Apple credit, they said Apple has developed a way that you can have your Wi-Fi devices, you can have your electronic devices charged through a Wi-Fi system. In other words, you know how you have to take your telephone off and charge it with a battery? They'll be able to do that through the Wi-Fi system, to where you don't have to go plug it into the wall anymore. Who knows? Someone said the Washington Nationals are going to win the World Series this year. Now, some of you are laughing, but I'm just telling you, it might be true. Prince Henry is going to get engaged. I think that's from England. There's going to be a major volcano go in both Japan and Hawaii this year. All right, Joan Collins is going to die. You say, who's that? I don't know. Just some old dried up lady, I'm sure, but she's going to die. A tsunami is going to hit California. Mexico this year is supposed to have their very first female president. We've already had ours. Now, there are people pushing and saying Jeb Bush is going to overcome the Bush name and become our president in this next year. He'll start as 2016. The economy in Russia will collapse and China will bail them out. You say, well, why would they do that? China bailed us out, might as well bail them out. Well, as I look through all the predictions, you just wouldn't believe all the things that were predicted out there. And when that begins to happen, y'all remember back when we were going from 1999 into year 2000, Y2K. And I mean, there were people just panicked about all sorts of things. What's going to happen? You know, our calendars, our digital calendars cannot accommodate this 2000 thing. And what are we going to do? Do you notice that we all made it through it? But you know, the beginning of the year brings some insecurities to people. And you begin to wonder what's going to happen this year, especially when there's a presidential election and there's all sorts of things going on. Well, I sat down and wrote down 10 things that I'm predicting is going to be true. You say, are you trying to become a prophet? No, you're going to find out. I know these things are going to become true. I have 10 things I'm going to give you this morning, and I promise you, if you'll listen, it'll help you. For instance, my first prediction is this. The Bible will still be the most powerful book in the universe.
Amen.
I predict the Bible will still be the most powerful book in the universe. The Bible says in Proverbs 30 verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. God's Word is still the answer to man's problems. You say, but what all the technology and all the advancement in our world today, isn't the Bible becoming outdated? No, man gets deeper and deeper in his own devices, and God can still sort out the whole mess with a book that He wrote in eternity past that is still pure and holy and right, and the Bible's still true. You say, but you know that we've got the new technology and we've got a new morality, and hey, it doesn't matter what man says in his desire for morality, God's still right. And so I just predict that God's Word will still be the most powerful, life-changing book ever written. God's Word is still the answer for America. You say, well, boy, Facebook's become pretty popular. Facebook can get as popular as a face can get. But the truth is, the Bible is still the life-changing book, and it will stay that way. It's the most important reading that you could ever do. And I want to recommend to everybody in here, you know, you spend a lot of time texting and emailing and blogging and hogging and tweeting and twerping and all that sort of stuff, but may I recommend you keep your face in the Bible? Because the Bible is still the most powerful book alive. I believe they need to put the King James Bible back into the schools and let it again be used in our schools. The quality of our school and education has gone down drastically since they took this book out. Now, the problem with that would be if they put it back in, they wouldn't put the King James in, and so it'd be just like not putting one back in. But I'll tell you this, the Bible and the predictions of the Bible will be 100% true. I can give you some security for 2015. Jesus is still the Son of God. The Bible is still the Word of God. There is still a place called heaven for people that are saved. Jesus is still coming again. People that reject Christ will still go to hell. There's still a blessing in being obedient to the Word of God. So if you look at 2015, and some with excitement and some with fear, and you say, what does the future hold? I can just make a good, solid prediction. The Bible is still the Word of God. The Bible is still the most powerful book in the universe. And the Bible will still be the prominent way that this whole world, whether it likes it or accepts it or not, it's the way this world will be judged. And it is upon this book that God will make the determination what happens in our country. I have another prediction, and that is this. I predict in 2015 that prayer will still be the most powerful way to get things accomplished. In 2015, I want to say that prayer is still going to be the way to get the job done. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I still believe prayer changes things. I believe that prayer still changes people. I still believe that God still listens to prayer and that God still answers prayer. It may be a new year, but God's method does not change. God's book has not changed. And as we advance ourselves, and oh my, the world of technology, they're so impressed with themselves. Hey, you know what? They still have not developed a device that can answer prayer, but God can. God answers prayer. And I believe in 2015, you can go to the bank on the fact that your God is still a prayer-answering God. You say, but preacher, I face a monumental year. It's a big year. I face some issues in this year that I just don't know how I'm going to make it through it. You pray and you let God help you through. Because God still answers prayer. Prayer is as important and powerful today as it was when Daniel was stuck in the lion's den. There's somebody in here. You feel like you face a lion's den this year. Well, let me tell you something. If God, through prayer, could help Daniel to get through the lion's den, God can help you. Remember when Peter was locked in jail and he prayed and God had Peter released from jail, God still answers that kind of prayer. When Elijah needed fire to be called from the sky so that the sacrifices on Mount Carmel could be consumed to prove that God was still God, Elijah prayed and God answered the prayer. So let me tell everybody in here, yes, we have our modern technology and yes, we have our devices that we've developed through mankind, but you'll never find anything more powerful than the Word of God, and you'll never find anything more powerful than the prayers of God's people. And while you and I live in this world, and we're going to use some of that technology, and we're going to use some of the advancement that man has developed, I'll just tell you something. Never lose track of the fact the Bible is still God's Word, and prayer is still God's method of getting things done. I have another prediction, and that prediction is this. Prediction number 3, the Holy Spirit of God will still move and work among God's people. I still believe in the Spirit of God. I don't want to leave the old-fashioned teachings of the Bible behind because it's suddenly 2015. Well, let me say to everybody in 2015, God's Word is still God's Word, and prayer is still God's method, and the Holy Spirit is still there to move in our midst. The Bible says in Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to let the healers, feelers, and squealers rob me of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moves among God's people, and He has a way to penetrate our hearts and our minds and get down inside us. You know that thing that gets on you? That thing that you hear something said and you feel bad about it, or you feel the conviction the Holy Spirit's still alive, and the Holy Spirit's not dead, and the Holy Spirit's still working. You can thank God, and I said this earlier, you can just thank God. There are times when you feel bad about your sin. Thank God for it. It's one of the proofs of salvation that you're under conviction when you're not right with God. Although many are confused about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, He's still there to convict us of our sin. Those churches that are willing to let Him work in their midst, God can do a powerful work. I believe in 2015, in this auditorium, we watch the Holy Spirit of God get a hold of people's hearts. We're going to watch people's lives develop and get better and better and better. You're going to watch people leaving sin behind because of the conviction that came as a result of the preaching of the Word of God and the prayers of God's people and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. In 2015, I predict the Holy Spirit will keep on working. He can still comfort hearts. Oh, they come up with all the ways that you can get comfort. And the devil, he comes along and offers you the drugs and the booze and everything under the sun to try to find a way to escape. Let me tell you something. You want the great comforter, it's the Holy Spirit of God. You say, I'm hurting so heavily right now. Won't you cry out to the Spirit of God and say, Spirit of God, please comfort me. It's one of the reasons he was left behind. But if I may, my third prediction is that the Holy Spirit of God will remain powerful and active and working in our midst. I have another prediction, prediction number 4, that our God will still be worthy of our praise. Amen. I predict that in 2015, God still deserves to be praised. The Bible says in Psalm 145, verse 1, 2, and 3, I will extol thee, my God, O King. And I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You know, who the president is not as important as who our God is. Who our God is. He is still the King of Kings. He is still the Lord of Lords. He is still Jehovah God. He is still the one that flung the stars into outer space. He's still the one that in a teardrop could create an ocean. He's still the one that created mankind. Hey, this God of ours, in 2015, we don't phase Him out. We don't vote and elect a new one. We've got the same old God and the same old book and the old tool of prayer and the Holy Spirit of God to help us. And all the saints through all the years, as society progresses, I know they have their fears and they wondered what's coming next. It gets a little scary. I mean, we talk about all this business of our country and war and being attacked and all the things that happen all over the world, and we wonder what's next. Let me tell you, one thing you can be sure of, God's not dead. God is alive. The Bible's true. We can still pray. We can still get our comfort from the Holy Spirit, and that God deserves to be praised. It'll be more and more important that we praise Him more and more. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our faithfulness and our loyalty and our worship. Praise Him. Praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Hey, I want to predict that God in 2015 is as worthy of our praise and our service as He has ever been. Let's praise Him more and more in 2015. I have another prediction. Prediction number 5. I predict that old-fashioned preaching will still be God's way of convincing people to change their lives and to promote holy living among God's people. Old-fashioned preaching. Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says, "How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" I do not know why it is that God has chosen that a man be called to preach. And then God places His book in that man's hand and His Holy Spirit in that man's heart and under His influence of that Spirit. But for some reason, God said, "I want a preacher to get up. I want a preacher to take my book and I want him to preach it. And we will form a team and God will use that old-fashioned preaching to convict men of their sin." I believe in 2015 we'll continue to preach the gospel. I believe in 2015 we'll still stand in this pulpit and tell people there's a place called hell. And it's a real place. And it's not a game. And it's not a figment of our imagination. And if we have loved ones that are not saved, they'll die and go to that hell if they don't get saved. In 2015 we'll still preach that there is a hell that is hot. And there is a heaven that is real. There's a heaven where there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. In 2015 we're going to keep talking about the way to heaven is Jesus Christ. We're going to keep on doing that. You say, why? For all these thousands of years, preaching the gospel has helped people to get born again, and we're just going to keep on preaching the old time religion. We're not going to phase it out. Hey, I don't think there's a new way of getting the job done. I believe in going out house to house telling people about Jesus Christ and then coming to the pulpit and preaching a hell that's hot and a heaven that's real and telling people the truth. If you don't get born again, you will die and go to hell and you will burn for all eternity and you'll regret ever turning your back on the Savior that died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. Can I tell you how few preachers get up and preach the old-time gospel anymore? We're almost apologizing. They don't want to tell people there's a hell. When's the last time you heard somebody on national television get up and say, "If you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell and burn for all eternity"? And we don't say that to be rude. We say it because it's printed in the book. It's God's way of doing things. More than one time in my life, we've preached about hell and hell being hot and hell being forever and hell being real, watching people fall under the conviction of this book because of the prayers of God's people and the movement of the Holy Ghost of God, and people get under conviction and realize, "I'm not saved." They walk an aisle and get on their knees and get born again. I predict in 2015 that it'll be old-fashioned preaching that still changes the lives of people. America doesn't need talk show hosts. America needs preaching. America doesn't need tarot cards. America needs preaching. America doesn't need horoscopes. America needs preaching. America doesn't need psychiatrists. It needs preaching. America doesn't need the New Age religion. It needs the old-fashioned preaching. America doesn't need philosophers, it needs preachers. America doesn't need psychics. We've got enough psychopaths out there because of the psychic. We need preachers. Preaching that convicts us of sin. Preaching that requires a change of heart. Preaching that causes us to shut our mouth. You know, every once in a while there ought to be some preaching that causes you to say, you know, I'm not going to say that anymore. I shouldn't be talking that way. Preaching that saves marriages, and preaching that stops the liar's mouth. Preaching that sobers the drunk, and preaching that causes the man to keep his britches up where they belong and being only with his wife, or the wife only with her husband. Preaching that says to young people, you ought to live right and do right and act right with mom and dad, and where mom and dad can't see you. Preaching that reminds people that the Bible is God's word, and we're to live holy and clean and right righteous in this life. Preaching that gets loud. Y'all have to forgive me. I've got a couple of opinions and they slip out every once in a while. I can't picture myself being under a lot of conviction with some of the new modern preachers. Oh, I don't see how they get their hair to look the way they do. I'm just going to move on because I just... Number six, preaching. Prediction number six, I really believe that old-fashioned gospel music is still right and God still expects it. I believe it's still the way to have God's blessing in your life. Psalm 104, verse 33, it says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Amazing grace is still amazing in 2015. There is still a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. I still believe that there's one thing that can wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I think God and the movement of God, the true movement of God, is hurt by Christian rock and roll music. And some of you have gotten into that, and I don't know where you got it, because I know your old preacher didn't believe that trash, but you ought to get out of it, because God's not going to bless it. I had a whole lot of people saying amen a little bit ago, and I had a couple right there, so we'll go back around the block and I'll tell you. The music of God's people has deteriorated so bad through the years, it's pathetic. Now we accept just about anything that's just got the name Jesus in it, and I just don't happen to believe that's right. God wants us to do the right thing. Someone said to me, he said, well, we use all that newfangled music because we want to get God down to where the young people can accept Him. You're not supposed to be bringing God down from anywhere. You're supposed to clean the people up and get the people lifted up to where God is. We're not to be trying to pull God down to man's way. We're to get man cleaned up so you could get man up to where he can properly worship God. Prediction number seven. They get better as we go, don't they? Prediction number seven. God will still bless righteous living. God will still bless righteous living. Psalm chapter 5 verse 12, it says, For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. You know that God is still for honesty. The kind of honesty that when you went through Walmart and they gave you an extra dollar back in your change and you noticed it and you turned around and handed it back to them and said, I'm sorry, you've given me too much change back. Instead of, ha, God just blessed me with this extra dollar. Do you know that the person that their cash register comes up short, they'll be in trouble over that. You might be shocked when you hand that dollar back that they wouldn't also accept a gospel tract from you. God's will in 2015 is still that we live in a righteous way. God is still for purity. Young people, you ought to keep your hands off of each other till you're married. Those of you that are married, there ought not be any physical contact between you and others of the opposite sex, just you and your spouse. Some of you in the old generation, preachers weren't ever afraid to say that. Husband and wife are supposed to touch each other and that's it. And you're supposed to stay away from each other till you get married. Now, that's the way America was founded. Well, we've lost track of that today. But I believe this. I believe God still blesses righteous living. God is still for people being faithful to church. God is still for kindness. God is still for charity. God is still against the sin of evil and wickedness. Folks, and let me tell you something about being faithful to church. You ought to do everything you can to be as faithful to church as you can. And don't you ever let yourself slip into a constant justification of missing church. Very easy to do. It's very easy to do. Folks, God is still against lust and hate and stealing and lying. God is still for unity in the church. And look, in 2015, there are some things that just have not changed. They have not changed. The Bible is still God's Word. Prayer is still the way that God will attend to our needs. The Holy Spirit can still work. God still deserves to be praised. God is going to use preaching to get the job done. God is still for the old-fashioned music that the church has used for years. God is still for righteous living. You know, we get insecure in our lives. I'm giving you some things that have not changed. I'm giving you some things that are... You can just go to the bank on it for 2015. May I say number 8. Remember, there's only 10. Okay, so we're getting closer to the end. Prediction number 8. God still loves you. God still loves you. Romans 8, verse 37, 38, and 39, it says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing in 2015 can separate you from the love of God. You know, even if I preached on some things that irritated you a minute ago, and I did for some of you. And some of you make it too obvious by the way you raise your eyebrow and everything. But may I say, no matter where you're at in your Christian life, I've got good news for you. God loves you. You say, "Preacher, you know, you talk about not being vengeful. I've been vengeful." Well, vengeful person. God's not in approval of your vengeance, but He still loves you. Say, "Preacher, you talked to us about, you know, you warned us not to allow the Christmas holiday and New Year's to go out drinking and doing things we shouldn't. And I did something wrong, Preacher." Okay. I wish you wouldn't have. But I'll tell you something. God still loves you. God still loves you. He'll love you whether you're right or wrong. God loves you when you're faithful or unfaithful. God loves you when to everyone else you're unlovable. I'll guarantee you, when there's someone that everyone says, "I'm just disgusted and I've had it and I just never want to see him, never want to talk to him again," and you say, "I feel so all alone," I can guarantee you there's one person that will never leave you nor forsake you. In 2015, God still loves you, Christian. And all of us have our moments when we've done something stupid, we've done something we shouldn't have, and it was wrong. And within our hearts, we feel, "Oh boy, I just don't deserve." You know what? God loves us when we don't deserve to be loved. And I'm glad that He does. It will not stop. Prediction number 9. Giving will still be God's way in life. This world teaches us take, 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 take. Get. But that's not what God teaches. And in 2015, prediction number 9 is God still wants us to be giving people as Christians. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse number 38, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." God is telling us here, if we give, He can give back to us. But Christians are still supposed to be givers. We're still to give of ourselves. God still teaches that as a Christian, you know, we were somewhere, in the bus meeting yesterday, and we were talking about how we've just come through the season of giving and getting, and I told the bus workers, I said, "You know, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." There are people that give and they don't love. They're giving for ulterior motives. But if you really love, you're going to give. That's just a part of what we do. Moms and dads give to their children because they love their children, and husbands give to wives and wives to husbands because they love each other, and Christians give to one another because they love each other. And we give to the Lord because we love the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't give to the Lord like you're supposed to, you know how He sees it? Lack of love. A lack of love. When you're unfaithful to God in your giving, you're showing God a lack of love. I think we ought to learn how to give of our time and give of our love and give of our ability. Give of our food and give to those that have need. I believe God blesses a giving people. you look at, and I remember back, boy, you know, 10, 11, 12 years ago when we were afraid banks were going to shut down. I was pastoring my previous church, and it was rough. Some of you will remember we were within 24 hours of the possibly thinking all the banks were going to shut down, and what in the world are we going to do? The economy was so bad, and I had people ask me back then, said, "Well, what are we going to do with the church financially?" And I told them, I said, "We're going to keep on going soul winning. We're going to work hard at going out and reaching the poor and helping people and feeding people." They said, "Why?" I said, "Because God looks down and looks at a church. And when a church gets all tightened up and they get stingy and it's all about me, me, us, God will cease to bless a church that's stingy. But you take a church that when you wonder about the future and you wonder about the economy and you wonder about those things, you give me a church that keeps on putting food on tables and shoes on people's feet." This year we've worked very hard. We've worked very hard at Thanksgiving. We took all sorts of food baskets and gave them away. And at Christmas we were out giving and trying to make sure people's needs were being met. You know what a church could do? Here, we need a new building, and we need to build on, and we need money to build on. We could get real stingy all of a sudden and say, "You know what, we could stop running our bus and save the gas money. We could stop running the van and save the gas money, and we could just keep all the money and not give any food away, and we could do all that, and we could get us a better building." Yeah, and we could rot from the inside out. I happen to believe that God is the one that is in control of what building we're going to get someday. And I think part of what God wants you and I to do, He wants to make sure we still care about people and we're still trying to get people saved and still trying to change lives and still trying to feed the poor, still trying to put clothing on the back of people that need it. I believe that a church could become stingy and blow it. What do we do? Well, we know we need to go forward and we know we need to grow, but we can't stop reaching and helping and giving in the process. So I've told many a pastor, they've said, "We're up against it financially at our church. What should we do?" I said, "Why don't you just go help more people?" So that just doesn't make sense. I said, "It's a very good investment and the return is fantastic." I said, "Well, why are we struggling so much?" I said, "Maybe we're just not helping enough." Do you know what happens at a church? You know what happens in the economy in a church? You get out and start helping people. You help someone's children and they become better kids and more obedient. And then you go out and help a marriage. And then you go out and help somebody that had this need and that need. Word gets around. So people begin to say, "You know, I think I'll go over to that church where they help people." That's enough to make a church swell. I would hope that through the years, even you and I, we come to the church we're coming to because we're figuring we're going to get some help. You come here to get the help of the preaching. You come here to get the help of the leadership or the atmosphere. I love our teenagers. I'm so proud of them. I'm just so proud of them. But I'll guarantee you, they're coming to their program. You know why? Because they're getting helped. There are parents that want their kids in the program because Brother Ellswick will stand up and tell them, "You need to obey your mom and dad. Need to do good on your schoolwork." Hey, you just get to helping people. God will bless that. But a church gets stingy. We've all been learning that ever since we were little. Mama told us, "Don't be stingy now. Share." And so my prediction is this. My prediction is for the great Twin Rivers Baptist Church that we're going to have a great 2015 as long as we don't get stingy. As long as we keep reaching out, we keep reaching people and helping people, I believe God's going to bless in a powerful way. Let me say this and I'll be done. My final prediction is this. In 2015, Jesus will still save people by His grace. He'll still save people by His grace. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There's no new way to heaven. Scientists can't improve on the way that God has come up with. Man can't pick his own way. Jesus is still the only way to heaven. And let me say, in 2015, one of the greatest occurrences that will take place anywhere in the universe is that there'll be people getting born again. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of it. I want to see our church still reaching out and getting people saved and seeing lives changed for the cause of Jesus Christ. You know, when I get to looking and thinking about 2015, I was having a conversation with one of our men earlier, and probably Brother Steed and I were talking, and I thought, I remember back when I was a kid and they were showing pictures of what cars would look like and when you reached year 2000, and the thought of all the things that would develop and how scary the future could be. We look at our world and everything happening out there, and it can create a little bit of insecurity in us all. But be secure with some things. The Bible's still true. Prayer's still the way to get the job done. We're still supposed to be helping people and loving people. We're supposed to live right. The old time way is never outdated according to God. And He's the one, folks, that holds our future. Look, you keep your eyes on Him. We'll stick close to the book. We'll make it to 2015 just fine. We're going to be fine. Just stay close to the book of God and the God of the book, and everything will be fine. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know there are people in here that face heavy burdens, but let me promise you, tuck somewhere in the sermon today something that'll help you. There's some that you face fears and concerns. Oh, things have changed in your life. Job changes and so many things. Oh, the same God that's taken care of you all these years will continue to take care of you. The old time way is still the right way. Settle your anxieties and settle your fears. Just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to stick close to You. He knows you're not perfect. He loves you. But you just get your eyes on Jesus. He'll see you through. Is there anybody here that would say, preacher, I'm not sure if I die today, I'd even go to heaven. I'm not born again. Pray for me. I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not saved. I need to be born again. Who here would say, preacher, for 2015, I did have my concerns. I have my fears. I kind of wonder what's going to become of our country. What's going to become of what we've known. But I do see God's still on the throne and everything will be fine. And in a way, I needed a little settling in my heart and God has provided it today. And you'll raise your hand and say, I just needed a little settling in my heart because I do have my fears and concerns. I see those hands. And if you need the altar for a moment, you'd be welcome to it. You might need to come down and say, Lord, you know what? I'm just going to keep my eyes on You. 2015, it's a new year. I'll keep my eyes on You. Now, some of you might need to adjust a couple of things. You've gotten away from some of those things that God's not changed. You're changing it in your life, but God didn't want certain things changed. Maybe you need to get back up close to Him. We're going to have a time of altar call. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. If you just need to come and say, Lord, steady me. I get a little fearful from time to time, which is easy to do. It's easy to have fears. It's easy to have concerns. But the Bible's not changed, and God's not changed, and holy living is not changed. As you come to the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, you'll hear the same old-fashioned music and the same old-fashioned preaching, and you might even think we look old-fashioned, but that's okay. We don't mind your thinking that. Being good to people is still the right way. Helping the poor is still the right thing to do. Telling people about Jesus Christ, still the right thing. Being faithful to church is still the right behavior. Honesty and purity and morality, decency, integrity, promptness, character, all of those things are still right. And as the world changes, you and I have a security. We have an anchor. We have a book that doesn't change and a God that does not. And the only changes He wants made in us are when we are improving ourselves in compliance to His book. My predictions for 2015 They're simple. The Bible will still be the most powerful book in the universe. Prayer will still be the best way to get things. The Holy Spirit will still move and convict men of their sin. God is still worthy of our praise. Old-fashioned preaching is the kind of preaching that will still affect people to change their lives. Old-fashioned gospel music is still the music that will have God's blessing upon it. Living righteous is still insisted upon by God. 2015, I'll guarantee you, my prediction is God will still love you. Giving will still be the right thing for a Christian. And God is still in the saving business, and He'll prove it in 2015 by saving lost souls. Fantastic.